Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, New Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country at the BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, you mob, all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Brother. We're talking DR, that's Daniel Rosendahl. And he's with DIG, and that's Deadly Indigenous Youth Doing Good, and talk about the vehicle that they drive and regarding Voice for Our People and Yarn Up Strong, especially with our young people. And we have Daniel on the line. Daniel, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Daniel?
My name's Daniel Rosendahl. Western Cookie Alunji, Googling the Man. Born and raised here in Gimoy, and work at DIG.
Fantastic. DIG, Deadly Indigenous Youth Doing Good. So
inspiring.
Inspiring youth. Yes, we are. Get it right. Deadly Inspiring Youth Doing Good. Thank you. So tell us about this fantastic organization, brother, and how long you've been with it.
Absolutely. So we were incorporated back in 2016. I was one of the co-founders at the time, youngest member, 18 years old, and we were a collective of young people that wanted to do better within the Cairns region. So we kind of banded together and we said, hey, let's create this organisation, let's see what it looks like. And then since then, we've been slowly growing and building our organisation, working with young people, working with our community, advocating for our families. But essentially what the name is what we like to do. So
sure. We
do all sorts of different work.
Paint some picture, some sort of work that you do, the service you provide for young Indigenous youth up here in Cairns. Do you go out to other towns, cities, states? Paint that picture, brother.
Absolutely. So we work across a wide range of programs, but you can look at it as young people, we recognise that we both need to be in the crisis and leadership space.
Yep.
So we work with our young people who are a bit down on luck, who are trying to do better, but we also do facilitate a lot of leadership programs. We help support Kunja First Nations Men's Collective, which is a men's group here in Cairns.
Mm.
We also support other amazing community members, such as Simone Stacey and her program, which is No Shame in My Game, is music therapy,
yes,
for helping our young people express themselves through music. But not only that, we are supporters of the Cairns NAIDOC Committee and other community programs that lots of our community attend, that lots of people engage with every year, that we want to ensure that continue to happen in the future.
Look, it's fantastic, a beautiful vehicle, and look, fantastic word then regarding inspiring, and that's exactly what you're doing. And we're talking about youth from all different angles and all different platforms and different industries as such. I mean, because you had an input as well with the former Voice to Parliament referendum. You guys were in there batting as well, weren't you?
That's right. As a young person myself, I was personally involved in the Yes campaign. I was also an advocate and continue to be an advocate for the Uluru Statement from the Heart, which is, you know, a huge body of work that a lot of our leaders kind of put effort into.
Mm.
And something that, you know, that momentum's still there. We haven't lost anything since October 14th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If anything, we've gained 6.2 million supporters. And we've also continue to build the momentum every day because our people are fighters. Mm. We're not going to just give up just because we got turned away one time. We've been turned away many times before. So I think it's the adversity that we face is something that we're used to and we're going to continue showing up for.
Well, exactly. And I was just saying, you look at our leaders who've gone before us in regard to fighting for our existence and acknowledgement, and they're with us in spirit, but the fight continues. And now we have a vehicle here, DIG, Deadly Inspiring Youth, doing good. It gives them a platform to get educated in the black space and the black movement and be strong and speak up and speak with courage and with knowledge, with power and with existence of who we are in the 21st century, brother.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We recognise that, our leaders, they have strongly and ably led us for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But it's time for us to start taking those mantles, start stepping up, which is something that DIG supports other young people in doing, myself included. So we recognise that if we're going to create change, we need to be the ones that create that change in the future, and building off the momentum that our leaders and our elders have created for us.
Yeah, fantastic. Can you also share with us, I believe, DIG just had a representation over in Hawaii just recently, is that right?
That's correct.
So, tell us about that journey and who travelled and what was in aid of.
Yeah, so we're very fortunate enough that myself and colleague Samira Joes, who's also one of our co-founders, got to head over to Hawaii and attend the Hawaiian International Film Festival, festival where our documentary Voice actually premiered.
Cool.
So it was really magical to go over there and engage with other Indigenous, Native Hawaiians and Indigenous people from the Pacific and show them some of the struggles that our people have been facing over here.
Well, exactly. And we're talking about the First People. And here we are at the table and talking about our fight, and here we are in the 21st century, and the fight continues. That in itself sheds light on First Nation people globally and our fight for existence, acknowledgement, and survival, you could say, brother.
Oh, yeah, that's 100% right. Like, our Pacific brothers and sisters, their fights are very, very similar. I know us, well, as a lot of us know, us in Hawaii share a similar bond with certain people that came to Australia.
Mm.
So, the relationships that they have in their community and the effects that colonialism had on them is very, very similar to what we actually face over here. So it's kind of like we're talking to our own community in ways.
Exactly.
It was very interesting.
Very interesting. Look, and it's how you say, go a mile, see a mile. It's all about education. We are students for life. And the fact that you and your colleague there travelled overseas, Samara, in presenting for that convention, but talking on behalf of our people here, First Nation people of the Big Island, Australia, and the First People. Fantastic, my brother. So you've got to be really, really enjoying that space there, my brother. And where do you see DIG going in the future?
Obviously, working in this space, working with our people, working with our youth is something that is inspiring every day. We're always recognising that it's always changing. Our young people are always ever evolving, and there's always a next generation coming up.
Yep.
So we recognise that we constantly got to be on our toes, but also be realistic in the sense that we need to support and empower young people regardless of where they are on their journey.
Mm.
Because every young person has a different story, every young person has a different lived experience, and if we can help support them in becoming the best version of themselves, empowering, equipping and inspiring them, become the best version of themselves. We know that we're going to create healthier communities, healthier families, and healthier individuals.
Yeah, no, too deadly, my brother. Now, we've the former cyclone Jasper left a mark on far north Queensland. Also with DIG, I believe your building got flooded out, and you're temporarily at another building. How are you travelling, and does it look good for you to go back into the First Building? Where are you guys sitting?
Look, obviously, While we were flooded out, I will just say that we were very fortunate that all our family was safe.
Yes.
It was just a workplace. It wasn't our personal homes. While it's incredibly frustrating and annoying, I couldn't think of the devastation that some of our families actually went through during that tragedy. And we were just so grateful to be able to support some of them in ensuring that their recovery went smoothly and, still recovering, but helping them as much as we can.
Mm.
In regards to the building, it's still vacant. I think we just got notice yesterday that it won't be done until post-New Year's. So for us, it's kind of left us in a lurch, but we have some amazing community partners and organisations that have supported us all the way through and have very graciously given us space to continue our operation so we can continue to provide services to our community.
Good. Too deadly. Well, big shout out to the organisations that are supporting you. DIG, you are, yes, doing a deadly job. Deadly Indigenous Youth, doing good. Thank you for your yarn, my brother. So proud of you. Big shout out to your deadly team. Keep in touch and we'll yarn soon, Daniel.
Sounds very good. Thanks, Hunks. I appreciate it.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there. Daniel Rosendale from DIG, and that's Deadly Inspiring Youth Doing Good. And they've been running since 2016, as he mentioned. He was a young chappy, 18 years old, and a part of that fantastic vehicle, and just inspiring our youth in all facets about their life, but also about this organisation, this vehicle that they drive. And strongly in regards to the 2023 voice to Parliament, they pushed a lot of voices out there and got the support with the people, especially young people. So, look, fantastic. So, they are our future and speak strongly for us as First Nation people. You can speak as well, you might, by calling us on this daily number, 1-800-422-416. That number is for the Talk Black program. Yarnin with the Bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Live via the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS. Thank you very much, NERS. A big shout out to all our First Nation radio stations that take up the program. I'd like to welcome and greet our 4MW who recently just come on board with us in regard to our yarns here on National Talk Black. So you're up there in Torres Straits. Simon, thank you very much. And the lines are open. You can have your say as well. Tell us how you really feel. Get it off your chest. Blackfella here, all ears on open for your yarn. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. You can text a brother as well, 0457140550. Don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Yarn up strong, you mob. National Talk Black, too deadly.
When the lugs all sailed away from Roebuck Bay that fateful day, the diver on the B-19 was Nakamura. Not yet 21, from the land of the rising sun, his homeland was the island Okinawa. In the deepest holes of the Lassa Beach shores, to fulfill the pearling master's goals, went the diver of the B-19, Nakamura. His quest for the lustrous pearl, as strong as his love for the beautiful girl, he'd wit when he returned to Okinawa. But it's goodbye now, farewell. Say goodbye to Okinawa. For today, they'll bury you in West Australia. Tropical squall, then the mercury began to fall. 40 fathoms deep was Nakamura. Set sail, no time to stay, for the storm began to rage, and they pulled to the surface the diver Nakamura. The agony in his eyes
an old Malay man cries. He knows the Bens have got young Nakamura. Helplessly they cursed as the diver's lungs near burst, and he died on the deck, the boy from Okinawa. Cemetery in Broome, bearing gifts all deep in gloom, they walked with the body of the diver Nakamura. Headstones face the west, 1,000 divers lie at rest, and they're joined today by the boy from Okinawa.
But it's goodbye now, farewell, say goodbye to Okinawa. For today they'll bury you in West Australia, and you will never be as one with the land of the rising sun.
Sayonara, sayonara, Nakamura.
To Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns and New Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, Yana Strong, all ears here on your daily program. We're going to catch up with Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Good to hear your voice, brother. How are you travelling? What's happening?
Well, yesterday was a great day in Australia. Accolades to Lydia Thorpe. Takes great courage.
Yes. Verbally attacked the King, King Charles, exactly, yes.
Yep, that stand up and be counted, that's it.
Well, and exactly. The talk is, he's... his mother with us in spirit for the last 70-odd years didn't really do anything for First Nation people regarding handing land back or what have you. Lydia make that known.
That's right. That's right. We're innocent people fighting for, and I include myself, in the Maori struggle. And I've been down in Canberra myself too. There, we went three times and ended up, the last time, camped in front of Parliament House for 100 days. Mm. Go down to the lake night time, but back in the morning. And one day we was there and they wanted to... Anyway, they had all the army in the forecourt there giving out medals for the Mali peacekeepers up there. Remember that stuff going on a few years ago?
Yes.
And I know what it's like, how brave Lydia is to stand up in front of them, but she's got that... she is a senator. Me, I was just driving a car and I stood up and shouted over the whole parade, just shouting out, send peacekeepers to North Queensland at the time. And I know the power of standing up to it, and yes. I wish other people know that too, and that feeling, and that was a great day. But why I've caught up is I have been writing for weeks and weeks and months and for a year, and the council review, and I got everything posted office to the Human Rights Office regarding the desecration of our graves. And I was getting help from Legal Aid. You're there, eh?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, listen it.
I had to sack Legal Aid, mate, because they changed my words. And I talked to the human rights people, and they gave me the phone number of the Crime and Misconduct Commission, what Legal Aid misrepresented my words, changed them, and only because I intercepted, they said, sign this, we'll give it to the council, it's more tidy than your handwriting, but I do pretty good printing. Mm. And the first one I let go through, and they changed my words because I said for the council to put the two things back in. They changed it and said they just wanted to put her cross back in the ground. Mm-hmm. And I signed it, and then I had to write to the council and say, no, that wasn't my words. That come from legal aid. I never... And then I went back to legal aid again to do things, and I got a paper and I signed this, and I said, well, no, I'll read it first. I'll take it home. Well, when I got home, I was blaming Brett Moller for what happened in Gordonville. He's the Division 1 councillor and so must have some responsibility in this.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the words and put Destry Puya. They changed it. They covered up. Legal aid changed my words, and only because I said, no, I'll take that paper home before I sign it and give it to you.
Don't you have the last say as the client to legal aid? Don't you have the last say?
Well, I won't talk to them. I sacked them, and I've got notice of that, and that letter was explained and given to legal aid. They read all my writing, and I'm glad that they did it in front of me instead of saying, we'll see you later, because there's 20 pages. And they said, what you've done is great. You've held a mirror up to them. What's going on here in Cairns? This is terrible.
Yes.
To interfere in people's resting places.
Sorry business, brother. Yes.
It's sorry business, and they're not sorry. So it's an ongoing situation, and on the form, there's a sign saying, have you contacted anybody else, the human rights complaint form, and had a list of people if I called them, and I said, no, not yet. I ticked the box for sorry, mate, it's a bloody nightmare, eh? It's terrible, mate, but I'm just happy to get on. It's terrible when legal aid is protecting the council and it's corrupt.
All right, brother, that's your say. And, look, thank you for calling in. Please keep us posted, brother.
But it's our community radio and it's none of your problem. But I understand that the new mayor, and we haven't changed mayors like socks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's just terrible. So it's a waiting game, and I don't know what's happening. I'm just on the air saying there's a human rights thing. I jumped through the hoops, did all the writing, correct.
And still in the waiting, still on the bench waiting.
Yeah, well, that's the advice from human rights. Oh, they've got a backlog and goes on and on. Well, I'm not getting any younger, mate, and so there's this is what's eating me out, just waiting, waiting, and thinking, well, they're not going to do anything. They'll just ignore it and put it away.
Well, you're fighting for the good fight, fighting for the love of your life. Your Yidinji woman, who's with us in spirit, and you're fighting for her rights.
That's right. She's a great warrior. She's got all this evidence of corruption. No one's looked at it in 20 years. You've got a soundtrack of her. Mate, to get that on, to get that played would help our cause, because it's been 24 years I've had that tape here and cannot get it on. Well, why are people covering up everything?
Mm.
Why can't it be played? She's an active woman. She still, her work is here, and there's no... Everything's corrupt. The land is corrupt. Everything is corrupt. And we've got nothing, you know. And you go to Cairns, and they've got all these things in Murray Art on the Esplanade, but we've got no land to have business on. Jabakai theme park closed, so they're herding people to make money out of them in Cairns, but Murray's not getting any rights on land.
Well, we know our ancestors and especially our black activists are rolling in the graves, of course. We're still fighting the fight, aren't we?
We're still fighting the fight, and I'm really rapt that Lydia did what I know people have to do. And I haven't finished my work yet.
And you keep working, brother. Keep in touch. Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, Trevor.
Deadly on there, Tony Gibbs, and fighting his fight. And you ninja woman, his lovely lady with us in spirit. He's fighting and put a cross up at her graveside. and he's got the entanglement with the council regarding that happening. So, yeah, thoughts and prayers are going out to you, brother, and fight the good fight. I want to give a big shout-out to the girl. That's the Gordonville Indigenous Rugby League Carnival. Big shout-out to Jason Joinby. His lovely lady, Bernie, did a fantastic job. Organisers, once again, congratulations to you and your team. And it was a fantastic event. I would say about 10,000 people over the weekend at Alley Park, Gordonville, home of the suburbs Cockatoos. And look, a fantastic 24 teams were in the competition, and it led right to the end on Sunday afternoon, 4:30, grand final. Arab United Yellow up against Coastal Bullers, and Coastal Bullers ran away with the win at 31 points to 16. They picked up $30,000, and the runners-up, Arab United Yellow, picked up 10 grand for their contribution to that carnival. But all in all, a fantastic carnival, beautiful football, deadly football, and we use rugby league, the game that we love, we use rugby league as a tool, as a sport, that we use for our mob to get together and have kai kai and have network and have yarns and catch up with families and watch our deadly black athletes do their thing. So, look, it was fantastic. And full-on weekend, the first time ever they ran 3 days, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We know in the last couple of years the grand finals are going late at night and too late, too dark, short for the weekend. So they put an extra day there, and it worked out really well. And it was all done and dusted by 6 o'clock. So, look, fantastic. Congratulations once again, Jason and Bernie, and your Delhi team. Gordonville Indigenous Rugby League Carnival strong in the 21st century, too, Delhi. And once again, congratulations to Coastal Bullers. And, yep, see you all next year. This is your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM, Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israel Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, your mob, too deadly? All right, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister, Nikki Abani Irvin, Director of Bambara, and that's in Western Australia. And look, big congratulations. Telstra Best of Business Awards, Indigenous Excellence, category winner. And we do have Nikki on the line. Nikki, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good, Marley. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And look, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Okay. I'm a Wappaburra woman from Keppel Island, so I'm a Murray as well.
Okay.
But I live in Perth, so I just want to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people as the traditional owners of the land I'm on.
Yes.
And pay respects to their elders and mine.
All right, fantastic. Big shout out to your mob and the mob there with WA. Thank you very much. Now, once again, congratulations, Indigenous Excellence Category winner for Telstra Best of Business Awards. So tell us about Bambara, how long it's been operating for, and Indigenous female owned, I know that much. So tell us about Bambara and you and your business partner as well, Pamela Baldwin. Thank you, sister.
Okay, so we're both Queenslanders. Living in WA. We started the business 5 years ago with the whole reason to give back to mob and give them a platform to believe in their dreams. So we do scholarships with universities like QUT as well as sponsorships of sports and teams, individuals, and we do that by providing products to the oil, gas, defence and mining industries.
Oh, fantastic. So the service you provide are products for the mining industry, is that right?
Yep, oil and gas, mining and defence.
All right, fantastic. How many on board you got now, staff?
Oh, started with two, we're up to eight now, so we're getting a little bit slashed with this all happening.
Which is good. If we're talking about expansion, if we're talking about more staff, then we're talking about business is good, yes?
Business is very good. We work hard, we try hard, we do a lot, but you know what? In the end, we know what we're doing, and the whole point is to give them all the platform, so... That's why we're doing it, and it keeps us going.
Look, fantastic. So do you work with mining companies, do you? You become clients or products for them to purchase off you? Is that how it works?
Yeah, they send us a little contract that we then have to go out and find around the world, and we supply the products into them, and then they get someone to put it together on site.
So, look, hats off to the mining companies who are, you could say, procurement, dealing with First Nation business owners. That's a great thing.
Oh, absolutely massive. It was a struggle at first. Mm. You know, you have all those migaloos in there that don't want to deal with an Aboriginal female person, but you know what? We proved that we could do it, and now we're getting more and more on board with all of them.
Well, you must be doing really good because you just picked up the Indigenous Excellence Category Winner Awards with Telstra Best of Business Awards. So tell us how that went down. Did you have to go somewhere to like a award night, and where was it, and when did this happen?
The whole process was probably over 6 months, and it's a lot of work, a lot of interviews, but then we won the WA Award, which is not actually a night out, but the national one is. So this little Murray's heading down to Melbourne at the end of November to see whether we can win the national award.
There you go. Watch your space, you know. And you do what you do for not any awards because you're a business owner, you're running a business, but it's good to get recognised. I mean, and it's a good promotion as well to have a trophy as such, you know, it helps promote the business and what you're doing, sister.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you do so much work and it's not there to get the credit, but when someone actually recognises the amount of work you do, and especially someone like Telstra, that's a big award that we've won, and so we're just hoping we can win the national one as well.
Fantastic. So you're in business, started back in 2019. Tell us your journey before that. What were you doing before business?
Oh, well, I was in the Queensland government for a number of years.
Yep.
And then I moved to WA and I worked for one of the biggest builders over here in Australia called BGC, running contracts. And that's when from there I went over to oil and gas and went,
opportunity.
There's no Aboriginal female-owned businesses in this industry.
There you go.
This is my business and this is where I can make money to give back.
Oh, fantastic. Big shout out to Pamela Baldwin. Tell us a bit about Pamela.
Pamela's born and raised on a dairy farm in Bundaberg, so everyone understands Bundaberg rum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could not pick a better business partner to be with. She absolutely understands country, she understands family, she understands mob. You know what? I couldn't ask for a better person.
Well, that's too deadly. And the beautiful thing about who we are as First Nation people, we can have feet in both camps, one foot in our culture, but second foot into the economy, business or what have you. And that's a strong foundation for us black people, yes?
Oh, absolutely. It really gives us a platform that we can, you know, push for advocacy and greater inclusion and equity for opportunities for our people.
No, that's too deadly. Well, once again, congratulations. Big shout out to Pamela. So where is she, back in the office or is she not around?
She's in the office at the moment.
Okay,
doing
well,
the work while I'm sitting here yarning with you.
Thank you. Well, you're doing the promotion marketing sort of things. So that's all good. Hey, good yarning with you, Nikki, and congratulations to Deadly. Big shout out to your Deadly team. Congratulations to Bambara, up and running and kicking goals. And we will talk soon, my sister.
I hope so. I hope it's great news. But yes. I wish everybody else luck that's state finalists as well.
To Deadly. Take care, Nikki. All the best, darling.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Nikki Barney Irvin, her name is, director of Bambara. That's a WA company, Indigenous female-owned company that offers integrated solutions in the energy, mining, and defence sectors. Bambara services include procurement, sourcing, supply and chain oversight, engineering assistance, and more. With a deep commitment to the community, Bambara provides university scholarships to Indigenous students and sponsors athletes across various sports, fostering success and empowerment in Indigenous communities. And two sisters are running that, actually from Queensland, but living in WA. And, of course, we're talking Nikki Barney Irving and her business partner, Pamela Baldwin. So congratulations, ladies. Indigenous Excellence Category winner for the Telstra Business Best of Business Awards. Represent to Deadly. This is your Deadly program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS. We're based here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And yarn up strong here on your Deadly program, National Talk Black.
Give me the open road that leads to the west. I guess I'll be saying goodbye. A station girl, yes, one of the best with the western gleam in her eyes. Give me the wattling bloom and a plenty of room and a million stars in the sky. Give me a range that free and give me an open plain, give me a guitar and the western moon with its beams, so I can sing along to a million stars with the sweetest girl of my dreams. Give me a road that fills with flowers and birds while the mountain kisses the skies. Give me a winding stream and
Deadly track there, Buddy Knox, Messing with the Kid here on your Deadly program, National Talk Black. Have you say yarn up strong, you mob, too Deadly. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 0457140550. Don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Brother, I'm talking about the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your Deadly program, National Talk Black, and live at the First National Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country. I'd like to acknowledge my mob there, my father's side, 1 year Gunga leader, Dumiji Burketown that way, born in the Curry, and also my beautiful mother with me in spirit, Darnley Island Arab, all the Sailor Pit mob. And with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Sylvia from Simon, that's 4MW, up in the Torres Straits. My sister, good morning, how are you?
Hiya, brother. Lucky to be alive, always remembering that, you know, lucky to be a member of the cleverest, most yes. humane culture, so far as I can see, definitely in this country, coping with wonderful miracles and also corruption from the local government still. And it seemed the corruption's in the court as well, because they didn't respect my medical certificates. I'm a post-polio survivor, and it flared up again in me. My legs, I couldn't walk, and I kept getting dizzy attacks, and I had to put medical certificates in, and they just pushed the thing through against me in the court.
Resilient people we are, aren't we?
Talking about that corruption that we're coping with in this country, where they commit genocide all the ways they can, and killing our land and our totems and the spirits in the land.
Still a lot of work to be done, eh, Silver? Still a lot of work to be done.
Congratulations to Pamela and Nikki.
Yes.
You know, doing so well as they are against the odds often.
Yes, successful business.
How's everything going? It's really good to hear you. You all always lift my spirits.
Thank you, Sylvia.
And Danya, that I didn't hear the very first part of your interview today, but the DIDG program, I think it was called.
The DIDG program, that's a deadly inspiring youth doing good, yes. Fantastic organisation.
Yeah. We need more of that over here in WA. Since
across the country, we should be doing that.
Absolutely.
Space. Exactly. Our future.
But here, the big problem is the mining companies and the control of the government with them. I've learnt things through listening to the radio at night. There's a program that comes out of Cambridge University called The Naked Scientist.
Mm.
And this is about climate change and what they're doing. With their money. Let's remember, the government pays the mining industry $12 billion a year of taxpayers' money.
Yeah, big money.
Which has been a horrific shock. What could we do with $12 billion a year to reforest the country?
Close a lot of gaps, I reckon. Close a lot of gaps, Sylvia.
They're wiping out with climate change and messing up the country with the floods, which they've caused by building on the grain plains. It's in the book by Bruce Pascoe.
So there's
that, and there's no more recycling of the plastics here in WA either. I don't know whether they recycle the plastics where you are. The bottles are recycled, but the plastic bags, and everything's in plastic bags now. But one container load of the gas that they need to make the plastics, this is from the Naked Scientist, is the equivalent, I think it's something like 15 coal mines in the cost to the planet.
Devastating.
It's on the Naked Scientist. So I wanted to sort of mention those things which I talk about out here so people can start to see what's really happening, the way in which the mining companies are controlling the world with and not moving forward to stop the fossil fuels. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, we need to look after planet Earth, don't we? Looking for life on planet Mars, look up planet Earth.
When you look at the hundreds and thousands of years, and never mind they say 60,000 years, we've got some of the same artwork and culture as they have in South America when we were all Pangaea. Mm. And I believe we all go back to Pangaea. I believe that. Same South Africa's got some of the same artwork as we have here. And some of the South African nations have the same cultures we have here. And I've learned that through talking to security guards. So, and the world was all of that was one big island once, separated over millennia of time. So one of the ways, it's just horrible, horrifying, the way climate change has been used to hurt indigenous peoples all worldwide. Here and worldwide, indigenous peoples, of course, there's affinity with the land and the animals and the spirit in the land. And I've learned, too, through these radio programs, that the DNA in our gut is exactly the same as the DNA in the microbes in the soil. So that comes back to, the land is our mother, which is what we've all been, how our ancestors teach us and their forebearers, and we've lost so many people. I miss the wise words of the people from the past and of our kin people. I miss the wise words of them and miss them as well. As I'm skipping around a little bit, what happened after we won the court case to extinguish Native Title in the Southwest here? With the Southwest Aboriginal Land and Sea Council deal that was set up initially by Ruddock and Howard when they closed the Noongar Land Council down. We won, and then Turnbull changed it in the court, in the parliament.
They keep moving the goalposts, don't they?
Absolutely. So, it just tells you over and over again, we do not have the Westminster system in this country. We do not have the Magna Carta here. We do not have the justice of the Westminster system here. We have the system of a penal colony here still.
Yep, through that.
So far, you see it with the high incarceration rates of Aboriginal people, mostly for being unwell and being intoxicated on stuff that they're promoting everywhere. Woolworths has just opened up new bottled shop right next to the supermarket here in Kelmscott. proper name, Gulumrup. And they've also opened up, and I did phone up and protest, they gave it up in the Northern Territory, I believe. They opened up new bottle shops up there as well.
Mm.
So this is what, you know, this is what, you know, Tony's touching the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly.
Of what they're talking about in the way of legal, you know, they legalise their commercial corruption.
Mm.
Is that how I can say it?
Yep, concrete jungle.
Exactly. Well, the concrete jungle is a horrible place in which to live. I'm lucky we've still got trees here. Don't know for how long. I've got 3 years to pay $76,000 to these people. 30-odd thousand of it is interest rates and bulldozing and killing ancient trees and living sites and things. And they've lied. They've lied in the court. And they've lied in their affidavit, and I've got evidence to prove that, but I couldn't get the affidavit to prove it into the court.
Mm.
And I don't, you know, it takes so much work to phone up the Law Society, who don't call one back. The Law Access place said I had a better chance than their other clients, so they couldn't help me.
And the fight continues, Sylvia, the fight continues.
Oh, and the weeds, Trevor.
Yes.
The weeds are taller than me these days, and the neighbours, the new neighbours, just let the weeds grow. One mows them down and lets them all grow up the fence. Those weeds are what the horrible fires travel on in the summer.
Exactly.
And those weeds take all the little bit of rain. Our rain's gone down from March through to December.
Had to let Sylvia go here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong here. Got about 8 minutes left on the program. Got a message here from Wu Choppin. Take a listen, you mob, too deadly.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wu Choppin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wu Choppin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wu Choppin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wu Choppin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wu Choppin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wuchopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wuchopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
Thank you, Wuchopperin. Wuchopperin Kinship Care, that's what it's all about. We get our mob looking after our mob, too deadly. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, Trinity Trevi, Murray from the Curry, about to sign off your mob. I thank you very much for your company. Our one-hour program with National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BB and Bumblebee Media, 19.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. A big shout-out to all First Nation Radio Stations across this beautiful country. Once again, welcome. Thank you to 4MW, Simon, to be a part of the yarn, and like I said, it's a voice for our people, and we have our deadly yarns here, and I'm just steering your ship. It is your ship, your mob. With that, thank you very much. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon tomorrow. I've got the news coming up very soon via NERS. Stay with that, and look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Too deadly.
I give it to you, baby. You be kissing me with fabulous looks.
That's the reason why I be fall for you. I only want my love you to rule.
You give me love, that's what you do. And if love is a crime, I'm a criminal. I would break every rules for you, but I never got time, cause my time is for you.
My love is your love, baby. She don't need a Gucci bag or fanny. Baby, give me butterflies in my belly.